All right. It's a good morning to you and welcome to Tech Ego. This is a show in which we discuss the ins and outs of technology. And yesterday, I introduced to you a topic that, of course, we were looking at countries that have power to bring tech companies to book. And well, we can learn a lesson from them. And, we will need to come back to this topic because we are not done with it. I had to bring in the digital anthropologists, the cybersecurity specialists, to help us in this issue. But because of one or two, all of them got engaged with commitments here and there. But of course, they promised, we are going to have a panel discussion on this very, very important topic. Today, I just want to give you a story of an African lady, that has managed to turn life around, a digital life around in, in Kenya. So that's a story that I want to give you. That's where we are going to have our discussions. So I just want to give you that story where an African lady, an African girl who, grew up in a very poor background. But she became determined, to start something. And most people who started, these powerful tech companies and, people who are powerful today in the tech world were once small children, were once, small little girls or little boys, and most of them have had a difficult life, have had difficulties growing up or making it in life. But today we celebrate their innovation. Today we celebrate their innovation and we celebrate what they have done. We are celebrating a lot that has been created by people who have gone through, difficulties. And that's where we want to have a conversation. And while, my things are getting into place here, the encouragement that I can give to you is actually, if you have something that you want to do in life, you want to, even application that you come up with, it takes determination. It takes, knowing what you want to do and how you want to do it. You may not know how you want to do it, but you know what you want, to do. This girl lived in a house very, like we can say, the Havana of Kenya. And she's saying that the The house where she lived was a tin house, like tin zinc. I don't know, this tin can mean zinc house. Let's just put it in to a zinc house. That she lived in, as she lived in a zinc house. Okay, here it is. Let me just get it here. So now, in Africa, opportunities are very, very few. Many people are talking about that. And you remember we were having one engineer from America that was talking to us the fears of them coming back to Africa. Because they're afraid that they might not have they might not have opportunities here. But there are those who are coming back to Africa after going into America, and they, you know, they come back, like Nelly Cheboi. Her name is Nelly Cheboi, and she is a founder and CEO of a company called Tech Lead Africa. So her story starts to say she grew up in a tin house, which means in a zinc house in rural Kenya. And the floor that was supposed to be a cement floor was full of potholes. It's a tin roof house. And then she said that there is a spot near the door that had a proportional patch big enough, you know, to accommodate her toe. And then her roof was full of holes that would make the house to be flooded during, you know, during rain season. And she said she enjoyed looking at the sun when it shines through those holes. And she was now looking at that light when it shines through the holes. So, and she was thinking on how she can use her situation, her poverty situation, to turn, you know, the community around, or to change the narrative of the community that she's growing in. So 10 years after that, she managed to move out of that, of the house. And she built a better house for her parents. And then she, you know, also started the private school and the hairdressing company and the hairdressing business. And she was born into poverty, that she grew up watching her mother, you know, selling everything to make sure that they go to school. So they worked hard day in and day out, but nothing changed. And people work hard to provide for their families. So, but nothing is really changing. But they say that the factors that contribute to Africa not going ahead is not that people are not working hard. People are working hard, but the systems around are not in favor of, you know, most rural people. For example, the bank loans. You cannot have a bank loan. You don't have collateral in our case. And also, in their case, they have 13% interest, which cannot be affordable. And then, you see, the unfavorable entrepreneurial hindrances hinders even businesses to flourish. Now, what did she do then? What happened? How did she come to be the CEO of Tech Lead Africa? That's where I want to go. Okay. So she said she worked very hard in her education, that she got a scholarship that landed her into America in 2012. And then from there, she got a scholarship, she got a job through a work study program. And then from there, that's when she improved herself and came up with a company called Tech Lead Africa. So, then they came up with digital schools, digital skills. They came up with a movement to teach digital skills using, you know, second-hand computers that are donated. They make sure that they teach everyone in the community with those computers, some basic computer skills. So they buy these laptops very cheap, and then they donate these laptops, or they use these laptops for education, so that, you know, people in rural areas are taught digital basic computer skills, or are given basic computer skills. And then there is some, you know, participation into the digital economy. And with these skills, if they get the skills, the computer skills, they can be working for any tech companies, according to her, straight from the village. The only thing that keeps Africans very poor, according to her, is the lack of strong institutions. The lack of strong institutional infrastructure, that is what keeps Africans, especially in the rural areas, keeping out of the mainstream economy. Because as a young entrepreneur person, you don't have much, you know, credibility to even qualify for any loan. Because number one, you are a young entrepreneur, you just started. So nobody really has the guarantee to say that even if they give you some money to continue, they will have the money back. And the other thing is the affordability of, you know, collateral. You can't have collateral. Not everything qualifies to be collateral. So those type of institutions, you know, are the ones that contributes to Africa being excluded, especially people in the rural areas. Now, the digital space has become an answer to all this. The digital space, according to her, is an answer because things are easy. Skills are easily acquired. It's easy for one to acquire skills, at least when they are exposed to computers. When they are exposed to computer education, that computer, basic computer, you know, education can give them a lot of opportunities, you know, to be participated in to participate in the mainstream economy, because everything is digital. And from my research, I was doing a little bit of research, found out that at least when you look at Namibia, Namibia is one of the countries in Africa that has the most advanced digital financial systems or digital finance systems. Most advanced and most efficient, or I can say transactions take place in real time. So transactions take place in real time. You know, it's most advanced tech, not tech, but digital finance systems. But at the same time, I was also listening to a panel of discussion where, you know, financial people with the financial know-how were discussing, and they actually came to the point where they admitted that Africa has the most advanced banking sector. Africa's banking sector is actually advanced as compared to Europe. That's what they were. And I was actually shocked to have heard that from them. But then they were hoping that African banks can penetrate the European, you know, market. So maybe innovators such as her then can lead the way in, they can lead the way in making sure that this happens. There are a lot of good stuff that are happening in Africa as far as technological advancement is concerned. There's a lot of development. There's a lot of development that is taking place. But what inspired me, and I thought to share this story with you, is that, you know, the past, your condition does not determine what you can be. So where you are, does not really contribute to who you can be. If I make sense. So where you live, for example, she lived in a tin roofed house, which used to be flooded with potholes everywhere because the cement is, you know, the floor is becoming, I don't know whether there's such a word, old in the construction language, but the floor is becoming worn out. There are potholes everywhere, or there are holes everywhere. And she even said that there was a hole at the door that where her toes could fit. So, but she worked very hard, and now she owns a tech company that is Lead Africa. And this company, they buy cheap laptops, they distribute these laptops for basic computer education to people in the rural areas, so that people are, you know, included in the mainstream economy. I'm still going to fulfill my promise to you that I made, that we are still going to have Desiree Matias and, you know, just to hear from them how far they have gone with the fourth industrial revolution recommendation from that team. Because we want to know, how are the young entrepreneurs, how are they going to be, you know, how are they going to be helped so that they participate into the mainstream digital economy? Because now this economy is becoming digital. And you need some basic knowledge on how to operate, you know, how to use digital devices. So you need some knowledge how to use digital devices. The opportunities for digital and skill transfer is actually very, very vast. Those opportunities are very vast, because as I'm speaking to you now, you might be listening to me or watching me on Facebook, on our Facebook page, and you have, you know, applications such as Lela Pay that can help you, you know, advertise your artwork. That's already another gateway into the participation of the you participating in the digital economy, because you have already a smartphone and you are able to download the application, install it, fund it. And I'm sure you were following when Wanda was doing that presentation, and I still feel fit for that presentation if it can be, you know, repeated. But he did quite very well in presenting how you can, you know, use the Lela app. But it's another gateway. Every application that is being created is a gateway for you to get into the digital economy, and as well as general to get into the digital, you know, to digitally participate in the public discourse. So, and at the same time, we have, you know, other platforms that are able to help you, you know, improve your knowledge. So she did very well. She understood where she's coming from, and she did not let her poverty, you know, the poor condition, poor background, to hinder her from becoming the CEO of Tech Lead, and also at the same time assist others, you know, to come out of poverty through digital, you know, through digital skills. So that's the importance of digital skills. And when we were talking about, yesterday when I was listening to Wanda, and I was a little bit disappointed because the interview was very short. You know, I thought it was going to be a whole 2 hours and 30 minutes. Somebody called in and asked a very profound question. I don't know what my English is today. And this question, I'm going to turn it around because we are on the tech show. That we, most of us, blame the education system that we have. We blame the education system that we have, that is the one that is contributing to us not getting where we are. But why don't we outsmart this system? Is there no way for us to outsmart this system? I gave an example of the Japanese. When the Japanese were hit hard by the atomic bomb in 1945, and they were, you know, defeated. And when they surrendered, their education system had to be changed. You know, their textbooks had to be changed to suit a new power, which is the Allied force or the Western, you know, Western powers. So their education had to be changed, and they had to learn. They had to learn through a curriculum that was designed by the Americans. But if you look at Japan, they did not sit down. They actually outsmarted the curriculum to the point that the curriculum itself surrendered to them. So, and it's only that we don't hear much of Japan, South Korea, Denmark, Finland, Sweden. We don't hear much of them, or Israel. We don't hear much of them because they are not, you know, expansionists. They are not looking for, they are not doing what they are doing for outward purposes. They are looking inward. So they are creating solutions within their circles, within their countries. So to the point that I think these guys, now they are afraid of how far they can go with their innovation. So with my little findings about research about how advanced these countries are when it comes to technology, I came to the point of thinking that these people are now scared of where, what next they can do. They are no longer concerned about what they can't do. They are scared about what they can do. So that's how powerful, you know, determination can be. Why don't we outsmart these systems in Africa that are becoming factors against our progress? So why don't we work to outsmart them? Because we'll keep blaming until Jesus comes. We will keep blaming the education system, our curriculum. It doesn't speak to our, you know, we don't have digital, you know, the education that we have does not speak to digital growth. But the market itself speaks to that. The market itself requires you to be digitally savvy. Because, like I said, Namibia is one of those countries with very, very advanced financial or digital financial or financial technology is very, you know, in Namibia is very satisfactory, is very advanced. That when you have a banking app, you can do whatever independently. You just get into the bank, maybe for peculiar situations. So how do we come out and outsmart the system? Because in those countries, curriculums, even in Germany, you have to be taught there, you know, when there was West German, East German. The East German was, East Germany is Russian, or the former Soviet Union. West Germany is with the West. But, you know, Germany that was, you know, it became an economic powerhouse still in Europe. They were at the point where they have to push. When you go out to go and get your salary, you have to put, you know, you get millions. You have to push with a wheelbarrow. So that's your salary. So, but they are still an economic powerhouse in Europe. And In one way or the other, Japan still retained their power in Asia. It's only problem, the only difference is that they are not, you know, using their technology to expand, like wanting to take over the world. They are looking more inwards. They are looking more inwardly. So you have, of course, it could be that their system now helps, you know, young startups and young entrepreneurs or young tech. Let me create a word here, young techpreneurs, to come up with, you know, they have their own way of assisting them. Unlike in Africa, when we are divided between rural and urban, and even in urban areas, those who are with small startups, with technology in tech, they are still struggling because the institutions do not really have the institutions. The standard is too high for a small person in terms of. I mean, for a new innovator to come through, the standards are too high. Right. So, how do we outsmart the system? It is 22 minutes to 12. If you are listening and you want to be part of the conversation, the number in studio is 083-2888-401. That's a number that you can use in studio if you want to be part of the conversation. I believe that we can, you know, outsmart the system to the point that the system itself will say, no, I surrender. Because from the little that I found out, the Western curriculum surrendered. Because if you take somebody who is in Japan, their mathematics is higher and better than the mathematics in the US itself. So their science, mathematics, science, those. That's why Japan, even in the 90s, thanks to China now that has taken over, but the Japanese were leading in, you know, manufacturing. They had that position for years. They have been the second largest economy for years until maybe 6 years ago when they were kicked out by the Chinese. Yeah, so that's my little findings, but it can be debated. It can be debated. But their mathematics and science was very, you know, was very great. And there's a possibility that you can outsmart the system. This lady, Nelly Cheboi, outsmarted the system, and she studied very hard, and she got a scholarship, and that's what turned her life, you know, that's what changed her life. So many of us would want to sink, but there are those who say, I will not sink. So there are those who will not allow situations to sink them. Like these countries, they did not allow their defeat to sink them. In Africa, we allowed the colonial history to continue sinking us. And everything that we cannot do, we want to blame it on a white person, or there is a white man behind it. Whatever we cannot do, we want to point a finger to blame it on a white person. The Japanese could have done the same to say, it's Americans that have limited us. But they refused to be limited. All right. Sorry, we lost that one. Yes, you can call through if you were calling. So they refused to be limited. And they started building infrastructure that helped them to be one of the countries, they even became part of the G8. G8 were those eight powerful nations of the world. It's not that maybe it's because they are allied to the Americans. It's also about what they are able to contribute. So it's about what they are able to contribute. There are many countries that are friends to the U.S. that are not part of any G group. It's because there is a friendship that, apart from the friendship, nothing else. Right, it's 18 minutes to 12. That's the time here. We're still listening to Eagle FM, and that's a tech show where we look at different various discussions. And one more, thing that is very, very important when it comes to exposure to, digital economy or digital technology is to understand the benefits that comes with, whatever device that you have in your house or whatever platform that you are on. What economic benefit do you get from it? If you are an entrepreneur, how do you use the group that you are in? Yes.
Are we together, Franz?
Yes.
And good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, my credit is a little bit knap.
Yes.
So I shall make it snappy. I look around and I see, man, the people in Japan, for instance, as you are saying, they had a plan. I look back, I say, hey, the people in Europe, they had a plan, because in Japan, they manufacture the Toyota, they manufacture everything for themselves. I look at Europe, as I said the last time, I had a friend there, he was coming from, was it Sweden or, yeah, and he is a cook, but he can fix TVs and things. So I think looking around even at the Chinese, when they come and they sell the cheap things that they sell to you, if you give it to them and they are friendly, they will start to fix it themselves. So my take is, just in short, the education system should be changed to give all these trainings while in the tertiary, the juniors, secondary and the junior classes, so that once you grow up, you have got the knowledge of how to go inside the TV. And if you, it is now in the lower school. In the lower school, you will have the knowledge then by then to go inside and manufacture the small things that are inside a radio or a TV. That is what advancement I think we need in Africa. Otherwise, we will have Verandering on education system just to please the president, because he's on the behest of the president, you forget about the people. I think I will keep it that short. Thank you very much, Franz.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, sir.
All right. You can do the same. 083-288-401. So instead of us blaming the system, because it seems that the system anyway, we cannot change it. So if we cannot change the system and at the same time we also don't want to join it, then what can we do? So I was busy explaining to say that what if you get on a platform as you somebody who just got a phone now and you want to download WhatsApp or you want to download Twitter, you want to create a Facebook account, what is driving you to create a Facebook account? If it is only for chatting and just because other people have that Facebook account, then you are not, you know, benefiting from Facebook. But there are entrepreneurs, business people that, you know, complained when Facebook was shut down to say they lost money. Why? Because Facebook to them was a business office. It was just not for chatting.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yes.
Thank you. Let me add my addition also.
Yes.
To the discussion.
Add your addition.
Man, my brother, you see, those countries, they have got their objectives lined out clearly. Whether being it economic, technological, in every way, whether it's agricultural, every way they have their goal, they have their priorities lined out in order and what they want to achieve and how they want to achieve it. Now, on our part here, do we have our own objectives defined out clearly? Do we have our objectives defined clearly? What do we want to achieve technologically? What do we want to achieve agriculturally? And all these ways, in terms now, whether it comes to technology, comes to agriculture, and all sectors, do we have our objectives defined out or clearly mapped out and how to get there? For example, now, are we still together?
Yes, very well, my brother. I'm listening to you.
Okay. For example, let's look at our institutions of higher learning. We are producing graduates. That's good. But are we producing graduates that are addressing the challenges that are at hand now? Or let's say, for example,
that question, we can also turn it around to say, okay, when you say, are we producing graduates that can, you know, answer to the challenges, are we giving them the opportunity?
Now,
that's another question.
The question must be, then what we need to ask is, people that are going to institutions of higher learning, why don't we have a program, say, for example, okay, 20% of these people are only going, they must graduate, and they must start producing software for the government, for example. Let's say, since the government is responsible also for funding some of the studies and some institutions, public institutions that are responsible for funding also some of the studies of people. Now, when we look at the challenges we have currently, let's say, if we have our challenges, let's say we have our problems clearly defined and we know what is the problem we have now in our country, then we can clearly say, no, these 20% of these graduates going to NASP, they are going to graduate with degrees in software engineering or whatever. Then they are going to be solely employed for that, but not only for the sake of employment, but to come up with programs that or softwares that are geared to solve the problems that we have now. Instead of just having people graduating teaching degrees and all these other things, which is already now, I think the teaching field is now overpopulated. Why don't we have those people like this National Planning Commission and so on? What is the challenges we have at hand now? Get people say, no, NASP, we want you to produce, say, 50 graduates that are in software engineering or that are in electrical engineering, these people are going to produce this and this after that.
Yeah.
Things like that.
So we don't know how many people we want and where we want them.
Exactly, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, like Wanda yesterday was saying in the morning show that people are just becoming employers. I mean, employees graduating to become employees, or just to become job seekers or whatever. The question is, we must have our own people. We must direct our people. Since the government is responsible for funding some of the studies, fine. Direct the people. So, no, we are going to fund you, but we want you to graduate with this and this, and you are becoming our software programmer or software developer or whatever you are going to become. You see, like those other countries, how they have got their sole priorities in order is because they produce their own things, because they already have their own way mapped forward, how they are going to achieve whatever they want to achieve.
Yeah.
Yes, because they already have their map. They identify the people with potential. This person has a potential of becoming an electronic engineer. So the person is already scheduled to go for that field. And the knowledge is going to get, and the experience is going to get, and expertise is going to pass it on to the other generation that are coming.
Yeah.
That's how it is supposed to work. But unlike now, we don't even, I'm not sure whether we even have got our priorities in order. Even this National Planning Commission, I don't know whether they are planning only for to planning to achieve what. I'm not so sure now. Even this Vision 2030 that we've been hearing about, I don't know whether it's still attainable by 2030.
Okay.
Yeah, let me end there for now.
Thank you very much.
So,
right, you can come. I still have a few minutes. I think I opened the line. The lines a little bit later, but I still have a few minutes to accommodate our calls that will be coming in. Yeah, so the system cannot change, but you can change, and when you change, you become powerful, and the system will just have to surrender. So like I said, the system in Japan surrendered. Then instead of Britain, which is a powerful country, of course, the British, the French, and the Canadians, you know, they were the allied force that, you know, contributed to the overthrow of the Japanese, to the surrender of the Japanese army. None of those countries became the second largest economy. It was Japan. After being heavily hammered by atomic bombs, they rose to become the second largest economy and the leading in manufacturing and So that tells you something. It tells you that the system that was given to them did not work for them. Not because they hated the system, but the system itself discovered we cannot chain these people down. So the system itself discovered that we cannot chain them down. So the system decided we cannot chain them down. So if Africa, we will continue again, even in 2030, somebody will still rise to talk about how the white person did this, how colonialism did this. And even in 2063, we are still going to talk about how it did not even take 100 years for Japan to become the second lead economy. It did not take 100 years after 1945. So it did not take 100 years. So why, what is preventing us from being, you know, the same. Right. So we are going for a short break. And after the short break, I'll come and wrap up and say goodbyes to you.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of LelaPay. LelaPay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on LelaPay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download LelaPay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital at omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. LelaPay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6%.
Ushua kokusha oshikwiririmba oshina hepero momunyovye tupeva peyuva. Monao, for global parts, tunova ungure ova puike odhonongo nova. Arup okukuvater. Tunovitenda peke vyovikwiririmba okudha ko Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW, nuina twa weather ovitenda vyo Toyota. Weather ko omana omanene shimuna omaile no topra. Tuvada pomura rimbui o Naismith mo Southern Industrial Area. Po Global Parts tukupa onji viro othemba ohunga novitenda vyovitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
All right. So look, we can talk all we want about Africa being colonized and what and all that. But if we don't rise above that and forget about all that and focus on what we can do as African to develop And if we do that, we'll be the leading continent in tech and digital advancement. And if we don't, then we'll always be sinking at the bottom end and become the last in the food, in the technology food chain. And that is detrimental to our livelihood, because then whosoever feeds you has more power over you. Right. So my time has come to a halt. I have to say goodbye to you, and we'll meet again tomorrow. But Dwight.
Franz.
Yes.
Morning.
Morning.
Or midday or good day or whichever one it is, because we're now at just past 12.
Yeah, and since you are the business guy, you know, there was I don't know whether you followed the EU summit that just ended. I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
They wanted to agree for a ban, complete ban of Russian oil.
Yeah.
They ended up watering it down because countries like, you know, Hungary, Slovakia,
Germany.
Yes, and they are not really in agreement with, you know, a full ban. Yeah, and from an economic point of view, I know you understand it better than I do. How much of an impact will it to Europe if they have to ban the oil, because they don't have any an alternative. And nobody knows whether their reserve is going to or are going to hold them for that long before they depend on. So yeah, that's what made my day yesterday. Been looking at it, trying to understand the implications.
Well, Franz, in a nutshell, the implications point to one thing: those smaller European countries you mentioned. They know what the alternative is or exists, what they are, but it's just they don't have the purchasing power. Just like what Germany has, France has, the UK has. And those guys were actually the ones saying, whoa, 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 guys. Let's first stop the bus there, because unfortunately, we are all definitely not on the same bus even to begin with. So it's more a question of the economic impacts that they will feature or, you know, experience, as opposed to just taking a political decision. And actual fact, those guys, the Hungaries, the Slovakias, they were the ones having the more sort of like sensible political approach to an economic question than having the most outrageous or irrational approach that the Germanys, the USs, the UKs, even with some of the other smaller members have even put up. Because ultimately, are you really going to amputate your own arm if there's nothing wrong with your arm, France? Are you really going to shoot yourself in the foot if you know there was no threat to your foot?
No. Do you shoot yourself in the foot and expect to run after that?
Exactly. Or to participate in a 100-meter sprint after that?
Yeah, well, after shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah. So, would you really do that? The obvious answer and direct one would be no. And that's the unspoken but obvious sentiment coming out. But nonetheless, Franz, we have to get onto the brand conversation for that. And
right.
We've got some nice, well, I won't say nice. It's a very interesting discussion point coming in that builds off from yesterday's discussion that was the groundwork for today.
Thank you very much. And of course, wish you a great show.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye. The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shell life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption. Just yummy. We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-273622 or 0811-660707. This is a first for Namibia. Walenga Eggs, the Great White.